Could I ask you to turn again, please, to Psalm 23. I wish to focus your attention this morning upon the latter part of verse 4, where it says, "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We're going to have a wee word of prayer as we just look to the Lord for his help before we turn together to the word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the words that we've just been singing together that reassure us that the Lord leads us. And we know that the Lord would never lead us where his grace would not keep us. Lord, in regarding service, we thank thee, Lord, that you would never ask us to do that which you would not enable us to do. And Lord, with that in mind, we think of all of the work here. And Lord, how weak we are of ourselves. But Lord, we thank thee for the words that we've read just now. Thou art with me. And Lord, we pray that again these may be words that we can take with us throughout the winter months and on into the springtime and summer, right throughout the year here in the church, that we might be very conscious of the nearness and the presence of the Lord. Do undertake now to bless thy word to our hearts. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm sure everybody here is very aware that shepherds in the East cared very greatly for their sheep. Very often when they were put into what was called a fold, there was no wooden gate at night. The shepherd lay across the entrance and he himself was a gate into the sheep fold. And if there were anything, let's say a wild animal that was going to cause havoc among the flock, well then it had to get past the shepherd first. He was one who very often inconvenienced himself for the comfort of the sheep. He was very patient, of course, and if you know anything about sheep, sometimes they can be careless and they can be difficult to handle. And the shepherd, he was always very patient with them. He lived very, very often in a selfless way for the betterment of the flock of sheep. And as we sang earlier on regarding the Lord's dealing with us, the shepherd in the East would lead the flock. They didn't drive them. He went before them. And the right direction for them was always to follow him. And as we mentioned earlier on today, what is applicable to the sheep regarding the shepherd in the East is important for us regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our shepherd. And those words that we read there in verse 4, maybe you're very familiar with them, but look at them again. It says, "Thou art with me." And that really is the lot of every Christian. The Lord being with you. The Lord is with you when you feel that he's with you. The Lord is with you when you're not conscious of his presence. The Lord is with you when you feel you don't deserve it. The Lord is with us when we don't deserve it. And the Lord is with us when there's very few others with us. So the words, "Thou art with me," are very precious to all of us. And the shepherd in the East, many details in this psalm regarding the shepherd, very often he had that with him upon his person, or with him in some degree, that which would be of great benefit to his flock. And it is to those things, two of them, that I want to direct your attention this morning, and I trust as we speak that again this will be of help to you. You know that we've been doing a study in Joseph in the mornings, but I still feel that there's things we want to say to help the congregation as we're getting back into the full swing of things for the winter's work again. In fact, part of the prompting for this message today would be the fact that I met with someone, more than one this week, and already they're feeling discouraged in what they're involved in God's work in an evangelical church. And I thought, well, even though the work has only just commenced again for the autumn time, it doesn't seem to be too early for discouragement to come and for people to get downhearted as well. So I trust that whatever your present state is, that what we have to say this morning will help you in the days that lie ahead. I had begun to prepare a sermon on Joseph as we continued on there, but I felt that this was the passage that we would leave with you this morning. I want you to draw your attention, first of all, then, to what it says there about the rod. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So whatever the rod and the staff was, they were to be of comfort to the Christian. It would have been obviously a benefit to the shepherd out there in the hills as he looked after his sheep and the lambs and so on. But as we think of this rod here, it really was what was known as a shepherd's club. If we can picture a young man who's just about to become a shepherd, he would go out into the woods and find a certain kind of sapling. And he would dig it up and he would keep the root on it. And that particular kind of sapling had a rounded root on it. And he would trim it. Perhaps the knob, as they called it, on the end of the sapling would be the size of a man's fist. He would trim it and he would drive into it bits of flint or bits of metal so that this, in effect, could be a weapon for him. So that's really what the rod was. Now, the rod could be used to bring great benefit to the sheep. The rod could be used, first of all, to drive away enemies. Sheep even today are not without enemies. Everything seems to be able to get them. We know that in Scotland sometimes golden eagles will take the lambs. Here foxes will do the same. And time and again we saw sheep torn to pieces as dogs have got in and wreaked havoc among the flock. But the shepherd that had this rod, he was able to drive away the robber or the scavenging predator that would come that way. And these were things that we can say that out in the hillside there would have been constant reminders of the danger of the flock. There was always something that was going to cause some kind of a disturbance or some kind of an upheaval for the flock, even as they grazed. And you know, when you lift it into the spiritual realm and you think of the work that you're involved in and you've given yourself to it, more especially perhaps this past couple of weeks as all our meetings have got underway again. Well, just as the sheep in the field had their enemies, you have yours as well. And maybe 2 weeks later, you're already very conscious of the work of the enemy. You can think of the arch enemy. The devil will come along. He will take your joy. He will try to instill discouragement into your heart. And when you're discouraged, your usefulness tends to flee. He will try to upset your holiness of life, tempt you in a way that will disturb your own line of thinking in whatever you're doing for the Lord. And even your belief in what you're doing and the usefulness of it, he will come along and try to take all of these things away. And all around you, it will seem at times that there's an enemy in every hand. Maybe everything's going well for you. You're on the crest of the wave and there haven't been any discouragements or setbacks or difficulties yet. Well, that can all change very quickly indeed. And you know, the young shepherd in the East, they actually learned to throw this rod with great accuracy. Remember David, when he had to face the lion and the bear and all, some people believe that it was largely due to his ability to use this rod that he was able to drive them away. The shepherd learned how to wield this and how to use it with great skill. This is the rod that we're thinking of here. But the rod was not only used to drive away enemies, the rod was used to make a way for the sheep. To make a way for the sheep. Very often when the pasture that they were on would have been getting fairly thin on it, they would have had to move to new pasture lands. And this rod would have been used as an instrument of clearness. If you know anything about sheep, they don't do well with thorns and briars and that kind of thing. And the shepherd, he would be able to make a pathway through here. And again, we're thinking of the Lord. We're thinking of the Lord and the work that we are involved in. And we don't do well with thorns and briars. And it seems that we get entangled easily enough in that which would hinder us. But the Lord is able to make a pathway for us. Maybe the pathway in what you're doing was clear enough last year. This year it seems altogether different. Bit of a surprise for you. And there seems to be thorns and briars. Maybe it's the thorns and briars of some kind of a discouragement for all I know. But notice something else about this rod. Not only was it used to drive away enemies and to clear a path, It was actually, it actually gave power to the shepherd. It was the shepherd's power. So therefore, it was indispensable to him. For the rod that you're reading about is actually a symbol. The word rod there, it really refers to a scepter to rule. A scepter to rule. And that, of course, symbolizes power and authority. Now, if you go in your Bible back to the life of Moses, you will discover that very often, for the authority and power of God to be seen, this man, Moses, who was in constant communion with the Lord, he had to do what the Lord said regarding the rod. The rod that he had in his hand. So therefore this rod really, certainly in the experience of Moses, it stood for what God said. It represented his authority. Now we're thinking here of this rod as a symbol of power. A symbol of power. In Exodus chapter 4, you may turn to that book, please, with a few references here in the book of Exodus that we hope will be helpful to you. Exodus chapter 4. It says in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto him," that is unto Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." Then if you turn over to verse 17, it says, "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." And just verse 20, it says, "And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand." So you can see it all tying in together now, how this rod, which really refers to a scepter to rule, symbolizes the power and authority of God, and how important that was for Moses. You take a wee look over there in chapter 7 in the book of Exodus, and at the verse 10, situation here with the rod again. It says, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his serpents, and it became a serpent." When here is the rod again, it is actually challenging evil. The rod is challenging evil at this time. If you look in chapter 10, you will see that it's dealing with evil. Look at chapter 10 in Exodus, and at the verse 13. This is regarding the plagues that were to come, "And Moses stretched forth his rod over all the land of Egypt. And the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And we know what devastation that brought to the wicked Pharaoh and his regime at that time. And the rod of God was involved in all of this. But notice, as we mentioned earlier on, I want you to notice the rod making a way. Making a way, or clearing the path. Look at chapter 14 in the book of Exodus, if you would, please. You can see now how significant this rod, this scepter to rule, was in the hand of Moses. Chapter 14, it says in verse 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." There's an important message in that verse. The Lord can show you the way to go and equip you in certain ways, but there comes that point when there's human responsibility, and your responsibility is to go on in the work and to do what you can on a human level. And that is what the Lord is saying here. "Moses, why are you looking to me? I've done what you need done. Tell the people now to go forward." Verse 16, "But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." You see the rod not only challenging evil and dealing with evil, but you see the rod now making a way. They were in a cul-de-sac situation, and now the Lord, he is making a way for them. I want to move on quickly here to chapter 17 in the book of Exodus. Again, it's regarding the rod. Verse 5, chapter 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So the rod here not only challenges evil and deals with the evil and makes a way, the rod is used here in bringing refreshment. How they needed it at that point in their journey, in their experience. Look at chapter 17 again, in verse 9. It says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So as you consider this scepter to rule, that which speaks of the power and authority of God, you will see that it challenged evil. It dealt with evil. It made a way where there was no way. It brought great refreshment that was greatly needed. And it gave tremendous victory as well. And brethren and sisters, as you think of this scepter to rule, what speaks of the authority and what God says, certainly we're looking here at the relevance of the Word of God. And as you and I continually stick to it, you need to be reading it, folks. You need to try and read it as often as you can, certainly every day. And if you don't understand it, as we've said before, you're just like me, you don't understand it all, you keep reading anyway. Because it's food for your soul. And the Word of God challenges evil. The Word of God deals with evil. The Word of God shows His people a way when there is no obvious way. I'm not sure if it was Dr. John Douglas or someone else who said regarding the way forward for the church that if you pray and behave wisely, then you will do well. You behave wisely when you're looking to God for leading in His Word. So this scepter to rule, this authority of God, of course we're speaking here of His Word. It challenges evil, it deals with evil, it makes a way, it refreshes you. Sometimes we become a wee bit disgruntled. Our problem is that the Word of God hasn't been opened as often as it should have been. And we've set it aside. And the Word of God gives us victory. You know, when the world doesn't applaud you, and they don't thank you for what you try to do for their welfare on the spiritual level, remember this, you can still know what victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Word of God. And it refreshes you. And I trust today, if there's clouds of despondency or discouragement and they're gathering over you, that you get into God's Word and you find refreshment. Refreshment for your soul, even when the going is difficult enough in the work of the Lord. And how we need the victory. Moses spoke here of going to the mountain with the rod of God in his hand. Of course, there still had to be a fight. Joshua had to go and fight. But Moses was going to the hill to pray. And what was he doing with the rod of God in his hand? Do you remember he had to have his hands held up? He was holding God's authority up before him. And what do? You come to God's Word, you read God's promises, then you come to the place of prayer and you plead those promises. You bring the Word of God to the God of the Word. And therefore, when we look in this Psalm 23 and it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm sure we will all benefit greatly from God's Word. What a benefit it would be for us all if we all endeavoured from this day on to say, well, I'm going to try to read God's Word twice as much as I normally do. If I read a chapter, I'm going to read two. If I read five chapters, I'm going to try and read at least 8 or 10. And see how that brings refreshment to my soul and how that helps us to find a way through. You see, if we're looking, as we mentioned last week in God's Word, if we're looking to human reason only, reason's important, and that's why sessions get together to pray together and to plan together and for the practical things of the church and committee meetings as things to be planned. And it's important that we think, but we need more than that. We need the Lord's leading. We need the blessing and the guidance of the Lord continually through His Word. The rod, when you think of it the next time, you think of the Word of God. And all of it is, all that it is in protecting you from your enemies, perhaps the worst one for us is ourselves. There was a preacher years ago, I'm not sure who he was, and he often prayed, Lord, save me from that wicked man myself. We're all saved long enough to know what our capability is. How we can easily, in our vulnerable state, how we can easily fail the Lord and let him down. How important then the rod is. But look then, if you would please, at the staff. The staff here was also a sapling. Now, it was longer, and the end of it was bent round in a kind of like a hook. The word staff here refers to something to support, something to lean upon. Yes, we have the Word of God that stirs us and shows us and the way and that gives us refreshment and victory, but we need something to lean upon. What do you lean upon? You lean upon the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, our Savior, said, "When the Comfort, I shall send you another Comforter." And he spoke of when the Comforter would come. Psalm 23 is about comfort. Jesus is our shepherd and our comforter. I want you to notice some things then about this staff, which reminds us, or certainly is symbolic, of the Holy Spirit. Well, when you take the staff, it's a longer stick. It's got a hook in the end of it. Very often the shepherd would use this staff to draw sheep closer to himself. See, they would tend to scatter every sheep. They're jumping, and they seem to be a wee bit headstrong sometimes. And the staff would be used to draw the sheep closer to the shepherd. And you know something? It was far, far easier for them to be led when they were close to the shepherd. If they were wandering off that direction and he was going this way, then it was so much easier for them to lose their way altogether. If you look with me, please, in John's Gospel, chapter 16. John chapter 16. We have here where the Lord is comforting his disciples, speaking about this very situation where the Holy Spirit would be our comforter. It says in verse 13 of John chapter 16, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Brothers and sisters, if we want to be led of the Lord, yes, we need to be into his word, but we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need his guidance. And it is the Holy Spirit that leads us and that guides us and that shows us in the word. And of course, we need to pray that the Lord will give to us a teachable spirit, that we don't read God's word with a hard heart and not with a teachable spirit. But not only was this staff used to draw the sheep closer to himself, where they'd be easier led, and in fact they'd be better off among the other sheep. It's the same for us. It's good to be out among God's people when you can. It's the best place to be, in fact, out among God's people enjoying fellowship together. And you see, you cannot separate the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. There's some today, and they will make outlandish claims and say, "Oh, that was the Holy Spirit." It might be a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Some of the things that are done, and some of the claims that are made, and it's attributed, "Oh, it's God, it's the Holy Spirit." God does not do things that are totally at variance with his word. God's word and God's Holy Spirit you cannot separate the work of the two. They always work together. But regarding the staff again here, not only is it used to draw sheep close to himself, I trust that God the Holy Spirit will continually comfort your heart and reassure you in knowing the nearness of the Lord. But it would also be used to free sheep from entanglements. Sheep, with their wool, they will naturally get tangled in things. And I think I touched on this earlier on and said that they don't do well with briars and thorns and so on. If you take time yourself, and I just read it for you over there in Galatians 5, where the apostle here is writing to a church, people who are converted from Judaism. In chapter 5 of Galatians, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You may wonder why he said that. Well, if you run on down to verse 7, you will see that he says, "Ye did run well, who did hinder you?" He's been getting their attention and saying, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then he gets to that very thing and says, well, some of you have got entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Who done it? Who hindered you? The word hindered, as I mentioned several times before in that passage, means to break up a road. You're going well, and then there's a big hole in the road. It's all broken up. The only way to get to yonder is bypass meadow, because you can't go down the road. When you're going to bypass meadow, it's easier to get in than it is to get out. So you see here that the staff of God, the staff of the shepherd, that is the Holy Spirit, is used not only to keep us out of entanglements, but to get us into them. Because whenever you get into an entanglement, it generally can get worse. What happens when a sheep's entangled? I've seen them once or twice all wrapped up in thorns and jumping about and leaping about with their eyes all staring, and they're completely full of panic. When they're all tangled up, they become exhausted. See, when a Christian gets tangled up, he keeps plodding on and on and on and on. He becomes more and more weary and more entangled. Not only does sheep become exhausted, they become cold. And sheep become, when they become cold, if they get onto their back, they can die. Because there is that in them, I think it's called erumus. I'm not sure, I just can't remember the name of it. But if they get onto their back, it fills with air. And that puts pressure on their heart, which stops the circulation eventually. And eventually that sheep dies. That's why the farmer or the shepherd will always be keen to get sheep off their back. Whenever we get away from the Lord, we become exhausted. And certainly we become cold. Not nearly the zeal there that there used to be. How important it is then that the work of the Holy Spirit would have free course in our lives, and that we would have a teachable spirit and come to God's word, which is brought before us as we look at the rod and say, Lord, what would you have to say to me? Something to encourage me, something to make me think about perhaps something in my life. Over there in 2 Corinthians, Paul was writing to that needy church, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can look at that in the context yourself, and you will see that Paul is preaching to a people here, and he's presenting to them the absolute necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit among them. See, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's no entanglements there. And if the Spirit of the Lord is at work and given free course, then you'll not become cold. And you'll not become more and more entangled. You see, whenever we get discouraged sometimes, we start looking inward and thinking, well, what is it that's wrong with me? And how is it that someone else seems to be doing so much better? So when we're looking into self, doubt comes in. Start doubting yourself, then we doubt the people around us, and we doubt the minister, and we doubt the church, and before we know where we are, we're doubting the Lord. How important the staff is, brethren and sisters. In fact, it's very doubtful if there's any other instrument that is more representative of the shepherd himself and his work, the work of the Holy Spirit, than the staff here. And now that's what the Holy Spirit does. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit represents Christ to you. Do you remember what we read there in John 16? We'll read it again just in case we read it quite quickly. John chapter 16 says there in verse 13 and 14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So God the Holy Spirit, in a sense, makes Christ more real to you. The staff made the shepherd real to the sheep. The staff was there in his hand. He was able to draw them closer to himself. He was able to free them from entanglements. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself here is showing us here that through the work of the Holy Spirit, I will become more real to you. You can study those verses very carefully yourself. Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. What do you look for when you come to your Bible? Well, the hymn writer said, more about Jesus would I know. More of his love to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. And when there's no word, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is not working as he might because the word's been set aside, discontentment comes. And discontentment can very often lead to misery, and we find ourselves in a situation where, well, we're easily enough irritated. We're not happy with anything. And the brethren and sisters, that is not where we want to be. You can see the importance here then of the staff. The staff is used to draw the sheep close to the shepherd. It is used to free from entanglements, but it would be used to protect these sheep from themselves. I don't know if any of you have got sheep or not, but in my experience, sheep are fairly silly animals at times. They would behave in a way which would be detrimental to their own well-being. I've seen them jumping over into barbed wire fences and all that kind of thing. In fact, if you see them running down a hill and one jumps for no reason, very often the others, when they get to that spot, they jump as well, even though there's nothing to jump over. Fairly silly animals. They need to be protected from themselves. You would have to be bringing comfort to them in a way that would help them. And help them to be settled, that's it. Help the flock to be settled. And you know the Lord needs to protect me from myself. And he needs to protect all of us from ourselves. If you take time yourself and read in Romans chapter 8 about the Apostle Paul, it's worthy of turning to, even though our time's going. It's important. Paul was a great man in many respects, but if you look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, this is what it says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So what is the law of sin and death? Well, if you read Romans 7, verse 9, down to verse 24. And especially if we just look now at verse 9. It says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Paul seems to be in a sort of a combat with himself. Again, quickly look at verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. We can look with astonishment in those verses and say, but this is Paul. Is he not on a higher spiritual level than the rest of us? And he's saying here, the good that I would do, I don't do it. And the things that I wish I didn't do, they're the very things that I find myself involved in. Do we not need protected from ourselves? Paul here in a very clear way, and you can read it more detailed at home yourself, he understands that this is his need. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death. Now, I know there are different interpretations in that verse. Some people believe that he at times had a corpse strapped to him as punishment and to torment him. Well, he was speaking of that. But certainly, when I look at the passage, I can see a man here who is struggling and he's looking to the Lord. Well, he's looking to the Lord to protect him from the old man. Why do you and I think things and do things that we don't want to do and things that we know we should do? Maybe we don't do them because of the old nature that has not been eradicated. Yes, you're saved eternally, but the battle's always there. It's always there. But you know, if we're constantly reading God's word, seeking God's face, and God the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, then we will know something of being settled. Doesn't mean you'll not have fierce battles with the old man, but we know something of being settled. I just want to turn to one last reference. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 32. It says there simply, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How important it is to know that you're saved today. You have Jesus Christ in your heart and life. And I trust if you're not converted that that will be your experience before this day is out. But for those who know the Lord, how important it is to be able to say like the psalmist long ago, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. There's no substitute, brothers and sisters, for me or for you either. We need to have the Word of God in our heart. And it seems in these days, when there's so much to sidetrack us, that we need to have very much of the Word of God hid in our hearts. I trust that as you go on in the work here and we seek together to do what we can and to labour for the Lord, that we will be able to look at Psalm 23 and say, Lord, in all this work, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Word of God is real to me. Christ is real. He's been made real to me by the work of the Holy Spirit that's working through me, teaching me, guiding me, comforting me. How good it is to say, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The work's not without its difficulties. That's not about to change. There will continue to be difficulties, maybe more. But the work goes on, brothers and sisters, and how we need the presence of the shepherd all of the time. I trust that every day this week, in the meetings here and at home, that you will know the presence and the blessing and the benefit of the great shepherd being with you. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to these few thoughts this morning.